Hey, Sean.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know that what's been really, I think, catching people off guard
is some of our charisma?
Intro. No, well, no, some of our intros, because they've been, welcome to Smartless.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, gents.
I'm feeling particularly lucky this morning and fortunate. Just, you know, walk into this room with my laptop knowing that...
Me too.
Which just, we're so...
Me too.
It's embarrassingly light lifting what we do here. We get to just open up our laptops and talk to people we want to talk to that you'd otherwise have to wait in a long line, a long autograph line to speak to.
I also feel very fortunate today. I'm going to be real with you guys.
Uh-oh.
I was having a tough morning.
Music cue. Music.
Uh-oh. What? Tell me about the tough morning.
I was just having just everything that's going on, and I was just having a very tough morning. And I know that we always start jokey, and people don't want to listen to it, but I was...
About the world, you mean?
I'm going to be completely honest. I was having a very tough morning today.
Did you stumble across a newspaper?
I made that mistake a few times recently.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Cartoon. He loves Cartoon Network shows.
I know.
And every once in a while, someone will leave the TV on CNN. And
I feel...
Yeah, I can't.
I don't know. It was that and just life and everything.
Well, what's the main... What's the headline?
I got a lot to choose from. Jason and I had a long conversation yesterday about it. And I was just like, I woke up today and I think I mentioned it the other day. I'm a naturally optimistic person. And I've been... Yeah. It's been tough, and Amy said to me, my ex-wife, Amy, said, you've been, how are you feeling? You seem, and I said, I was over there yesterday, and I said, I feel really irritable, and she said, you know, for guys your age, depression often manifests itself as irritability, and I was like, it really struck with me, and I'm like, maybe I'm depressed.
You're not depressed.
Am I?
Well,
no.
I've been depressed, and you would know it. It's an all-encompassing weight that you're constantly taking inventory, and you're like, boy, there's just it's sort of like it's usually unsubstantiated. It's usually just kind of brought on by some sort of, I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but I think that there's chemical shit and
if
all that
you're
stuff.
Not a scientist, so this fucking show is over.
I will say that Will, and then we can get light. But I will say, Will, you do an incredible job of navigating all the things that could trip you into self-loathing. You do a very good job without burying your head in the sand of, you know, you look at those things honestly. You don't hide from them. You take them at face value. You assess them. You try to fix them, and you stay very positive.
Yeah, also, Will, you know, you've gone through these before.
I know.
Like I've seen you go through these before, and it doesn't last very long. And everybody has these, so you can't be like up, happy, positive all the way, all the time. I think it's normal to have these little moments. And then you come out of them, you know, but when you're in them, you have to remember that you come out of them, that you can.
Yeah, that's the tougher. Well, thank you. Thank you both. I love both you guys very much.
And also, just because things aren't perfect doesn't mean things are wrong. Doesn't mean things are bad. It just means that's just life and we're all normal in that there's, you know, plenty of things that are pear-shaped, and then there's other things that are perfectly round. And the ratio is what you need to look at.
You just described both my body parts. body types, I should say.
I'll leave you with this, because our guests are probably like, Jesus Christ, what have we stepped into? But I was thinking, like, I've been really trying to do that thing of there are certain people, as you guys both know, in my life who have made it. There's some difficulties. And I'm like, I've got to try to make them my guru. I have to. I have to make them. It's the only way out.
What does that mean?
That they are teaching me something. You know, Dawa, who's in our life.
Yeah.
Dawa said years ago, I said, I know it's really tough for you to work with this other person. And she said, yeah, I was going to quit a long time ago. And I called my dad and I said, Dad, I don't know if I can work with this person. They're too tough to work with. And her dad said to her, Dawa, how will you ever learn patience if you don't have someone to teach you?
Yeah,
and I thought, fuck. And she told me that, and I
love that.
I couldn't stop. I was like, "Thank you, Dawa." And I went to the other room and just immediately started crying.
Yeah. Also, you have to meet somebody. You have to meet people where they are, right? So, if someone's a type A and you're not, but you just have to kind of right. meet them halfway, right?
So about the last, you guys know, and you guys have been on this thing with me, again, we don't want, it's not like now for a very special. Heavy Smartless, very special Smartless. This Thursday, Smartless on a very,
takes it down.
But I've been going through a lot of stuff, and I was in Atlanta, and I was thinking about, a lot of this stuff really kind of came to the surface, and I was thinking about all this stuff. And I listened to a record that really touched me, kind of talking about Meet You Where You Are, really hit me where
I was. Is it the soundtrack to Willy Wonka?
It was, yeah. Have you heard it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
I love that you were spinning vinyl down in Atlanta.
I wish it was vinyl, but I was sent this record, and I started listening to it from the first track all the way through, we used to listen to albums in that way, and that's what I did with this record, and I had a, and I listened to this, and every step of the way, every song was hitting me in this place, and I don't know if it's because where I was at, but it really spoke to me in this way that I've never experienced before in a first time listen to a record or a song.
Oh, wow.
Song by song, I was like, holy shit. At one point, I thought I was going to have to pull over. Because I was so emotional. It's making me emotional thinking about it.
Wow.
And I ended up reaching out to the people in this band because I was like, I have to talk to them and let them know what an impact it's had. And this is a band that I've really admired and listened to since the day from the moment I first heard one note of their music, I was completely engrossed with what they were doing. This is a band that has a lot of members in it, and has had various people from time to time. But at the core are two people who I think who met at a time in their life where they just, it seems to me, and we'll find out, that they just creatively, they came together and they, it's like this combustion, like this thing happened, and they just started creating incredible stuff.
Simon,
they're Canadian. Partially Canadian, mostly Canadian, but
is this Ace of Base?
They are incredible writers, incredible songwriters. They're poets. I guess they're philosophers. They're rockers, and they hit me in a way that also is in like strikes every indie rock bone in my body. And I hate even putting that classification, just music bone in my body. They're the incredible. They represent one of the greatest bands today.
Keep it together, Will.
It's Wynn Butler and Regine Chassaigne
of Simon
Fire.
And Garfunkel.
There they are. Gosh.
Yeah.
Hello there, Simon.
Oh, my
Simon.
Gosh. Hello, yeah. Guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Garfunkel.
Art, you look amazing.
This day has been...
Art looks amazing. I didn't, seriously, Art...
Wait a minute.
That new wig, this Art, is, so cool. Is just stunning.
I have to tell you, Will, of course I know who you are. Will's like, you've got to buy this album. I bought the album,
What Will is that? iTunes?
Well, yeah, exactly. It's not a buy.
You bought it?
I did the same thing.
That's I bought it.
That's so cute.
But you
That's
can't,
adorable.
But you can't
wait a minute.
Buy them, right?
I didn't know people did that still. That's amazing.
Well,
love
how
that.
Would I get it?
I don't know.
Well, because if you just have Apple Music subscription.
I don't. I have
okay,
to buy
Okay, hang on. Okay, hang on. Go into settings.
No, right. But isn't that the way it is now? Because I was surprised. I was like, boom, there's the album. And does this add to your library? Yes. Boom. It was done. I didn't get charged anything.
I know, it's all the music of all recorded history for $10 a month. It's awesome.
Ridiculous.
Oh, really?
Is that is that why
is that real?
It's awesome.
And that's why touring is so huge now, right? Because it's the only way that bands can monetize their music anymore, correct? Aside from the piece you get from the subscription services.
Yeah, you don't really get paid for streaming unless you're Drake.
Right.
I think he gets, they pay him.
Oh, really?
They worked out a deal where all the money,
name?
All the money just, yeah, we tried. And the lawsuit was, yeah.
So it's merchandise and touring, right?
Mostly touring, yeah.
So Wynn and Regine, I'm not allowed to tell these guys, we never tell each other who our guests are.
Yeah.
But I needed them. A few weeks ago, I needed them to listen to your music. Luckily, you guys got COVID.
Yeah.
Because you were supposed to be on the show. I say luckily for
just
us,
me.
Not for you.
Just me.
Or just you, Wynn.
Yeah.
And then you guys, and so these guys had a chance to listen. And I said, somewhere down the road, this is going to come in handy. Please listen to this record because I hope it touches you the way that it touched me.
Yeah, only Stacey Abrams and Kamala Harris were the other two that we were given a heads up that were coming on
her
the
show. Record's amazing, by the way.
Her voice is like,
it's melodic.
It'll sneak up on you. And then Stacey Abrams, and this is a true story, actually writes romance
novels. That one bangs.
Yeah. No, but did you know that? Stacey Abrams writes romance novels.
That's cool.
She does.
Yeah,
on the side.
It's actually very prolific.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now, sorry, just so I can be clear. Regine, I'm saying your name correct. Regine Chassaigne.
Oh, yeah. Chassaigne.
Chassaigne. Oui, oui, c'est ça.
Oh, look at you guys.
Well, she's already corrected. My French is terrible.
And it was pretty good.
Well, how do you pronounce your first name?
Regine. Yeah.
All right.
Regine.
Now, listener, you try.
This isn't weird at all. This is super normal. Everyone together.
Regine.
Yeah, it's more of a...
Oui, bien sûr, on peut parler français un petit peu.
Non,
oui, bien sûr. Une interview en français.
Oui, oui.
On peut le faire en français ou en québécois.
Ouais, choisi.
Choisi, oui.
En bon québécois.
Oui, j'ai parqué mon char,
donc.
By the way, so guys, first of all, after 10 minutes of pronouncing Regine's name and figuring out Stacey Abrams and the money we make from we don't make from streaming. Welcome to Smartless. I'm so excited you guys are here.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about, was I right? You guys came together at a time in your lives. Regine, you were already in Montreal, and when you were going to McGill, is that right?
I went to Sarah Lawrence College for a year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did?
And as one does, dropped out after a year, because that's sort of the move.
Dude, of course. I dropped out of Concordia in Montreal.
Yeah.
I went to Concordia.
Yeah, we both went to Concordia.
Did you guys drop out too?
I transferred.
I dropped out of McGill.
Regine dropped out of McGill.
But I have a good reason.
I did one better. Dropped out of high school. So
that's cool. What grade?
Ninth, right?
Just two weeks short of finishing 12th. Yeah.
Do you ever go back, GED?
I went back. I talked to the headmaster, tried to get a diploma out of him, and he asked me for a donation for the school instead. It was a shake. It was a shakedown.
No. Did they do honorary degrees for high school?
Oh, that's, yeah.
That's what I was lobbying for.
A doctorate for high school.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be great?
I want it.
Da, 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 da,
da, da, da. Now, where are you guys in your musical life right now? Are you in the studio recording or are you touring?
Nothing.
Neither.
Excellent.
You're golfing.
No golf.
No.
The record just came out, and we're going on tour in the fall, but we're actually kind of not working, which is
nice
for the
a
summer.
Miracle.
It's really strange.
Are you guys a couple or just the parts of the band together?
We're a couple, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, nice.
Couple of goofy kids who are just making music.
A couple of crazy kids who love music.
That's cute.
They are, and you guys have a son. How old is your son?
He's nine.
He's nine.
Okay. He had his favorite part of Lego Batman is the nine pack joke.
No.
And he was like, tell him about the, I was like, do you have any messages? He's like, the nine pack. That's really funny.
Walk us through that, Willie.
I remember because, you know, these kids watch so many like Marvel movies and he was like, Dad, why doesn't your stomach look like the people in the movies? And I was like, well, son.
You have to be a cartoon.
Sean's been getting in shape for a Marvel movie. Show him, Sean. Let's see.
It's who incredible. Likes cookies?
Who there. Likes
cookies? How do you do that? What's the secret?
Well, you start with some ice cream. Yeah. Jason calls it my cookie pouch.
Although, you know, we always say there's nothing less funny than a six-pack.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean? And so,
it used to be a mark of wealth back in the old days, right? The King Arthur days. Like that was, you didn't look like you were in charge or powerful or wealthy.
Oh my God, you didn't go to high school.
Big and fat.
You know, I was working out a lot during Will and Grace, and Jimmy Burrows, the director, said, you got to stop because big isn't funny.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah. I've always lived by that creed.
Yeah.
Unless it's big around the waist.
Yeah.
Wait, so you guys, various colleges and transferring and quitting and whatever. But when you find your way to Montreal.
Yeah.
I think it's Montreal. Yeah.
Montreal.
Montreal.
And wait, is this and so you find your way to Montreal, and then what? How does it come together that you start making music with all these Canadians?
Well, I
don't you start going a one and a two. And
yeah, one, it, two, yeah. Three. Usually someone counts it in.
Yeah, and then you just start.
There's
making
a lot of writing. I dropped out of art school and started a band, as one does. And my bandmate had gone to Concordia in Montreal because it was so cheap. It was like ridiculous. You know, it was like half price for American. You know, I think their exchange rate was like half then, and it was also like $3,000 a year to go to college, which is pretty amazing. So he was going back to school there, and I sort of followed him. I didn't know anything about Montreal or Quebec or anything. But I got there, and it was sort of like what I thought New York was going to be like. It was like kind of the same. It's kind of the same soup as Brooklyn or something. It's like tons of African, North African, French Caribbean, and like, but it was also cheap, and there was crazy art, contemporary dance and cool electronic music, and everything was at an illegal loft, and it was like, just like shit was just happening in a really cool way.
For Jason and Sean, I don't know if you guys have ever been in, Montreal is such an incredibly vibrant city in a way. It's like this jewel of North America that doesn't, it's kind of good that it doesn't get talked about because it doesn't get overrun.
I've got a half brother there. Hello, Derek.
Oh, you do?
Sorry, where did you come from before you got to Montreal?
I was born in Northern California. Gotcha. Okay. But my dad's from Maine and my mom's from LA. So I have a New England. I've got a bunch of Maine people. So I ended up going to boarding school for the end of high school in New Hampshire.
So did Will.
Yeah. Not in New Hampshire. North of Toronto.
Okay.
I don't want to give them any credit because, you know what I mean?
Yeah, fuck them, honestly.
They claim kick out. I say they asked me not to come back.
Honorary degree.
Anyway.
Never too late.
So you're from Maine in Northern California, but you find your way to Montreal. And then, Regine, you're from Montreal. You're of Haitian descent. Your parents are Haitian immigrants.
Yes.
Moved to Montreal.
Wow.
And
from Haiti, you moved to Montreal?
Were you born in Montreal or Haiti?
I was born in Montreal.
Oh, okay.
And you started making music in your head when you were really young. Is that right? That's what I read once.
Regina's by far the most accomplished musical member. I mean, she's just like one of those savant types who taught herself classical music in the basement when she was five.
Wow.
She, like on our first record, the first song, Tunnels, like she started playing drums like a week before we cut that. It's like,
no way.
Because we didn't have a drummer at the time. She's like, I can play drums. Like, you can. It's like, well, I'd never done it, but let me just figure it out really quick. Which is like, just insane. And like, so she's like that type.
I love that. That is so. And Regine, were you making music? I also read once that you were like making music in like shopping centers, and that's how you guys met. Is that a true story, or am I mixing it up?
That's kind of a mix up, but I did do a million gigs at a million different jobs, too many to remember. I was with a person driving around in Montreal one time and for a month, and she says, you know, Regine, every time we go somewhere, you say, oh, I used to work here. Oh, I used to work there. Oh, I worked here. Oh, yeah, I worked there, too. It's like, wait, you worked everywhere.
Now, were you quitting a lot or getting fired a lot?
The stuff that I would quit was like telemarketing and things where I could be replaced very easily.
Yeah. Were you ever fired for anything?
No.
Yeah.
I don't quit
Not
on
yet.
People. I just quit on things where I knew that it wouldn't matter.
I love that. I don't quit on people. I just quit on
that.
I love that.
Regine, I like when I like it just rolled off my tongue. Regine, it was my dream my whole life to play the piano at malls. I thought you made it if you played at Nordstrom or like some kind of department store. And so my whole life I'd be like, if I can just get a job, how great would that be? I just go to the mall, I play, I get a check, I go home. I thought you had it made. Anyways, I ended up
you get to work at the mall.
I did that stuff. I did. I was dressed like an elf, and I played in a Hallmark. And I also was dressed with a wedding dress that I got at the thrift store. And
you worked in Sean's dream.
You worked in the fish department. Like,
yeah, I sang jazz bossa nova in the fish department at the grocery store opening.
That's hysterical.
We got that sea bass. We got that fresh.
You know, the ice scraping sort of when they move the ice around. Yeah.
That's hysterical.
That fresh sea bass. Go ahead, Sean.
Regine, I played an elf on the Kenny Rogers Christmas tour.
Ooh.
How good is that?
That's the end of the story.
And it was not playing a piano. It was a guitar. Right, Sean?
Yeah,
I was playing a guitar.
Sean, so you always have that elf bod then.
Yeah.
goes natural.
Yeah. He's coming after you now, Sean. Go get him.
They brought all the boys to the yard.
Sean is classically trained pianist, mm-hmm. and he was a piano major in college.
Yes.
And he's very musical. We keep telling him he needs to have a keyboard while we do the show to just kind of, you know, take us, and he won't do it. I don't know why.
I know, because I got to move all this equipment over to the thing. But
what do you
next
mean all
time?
The equipment? Really? You've got a bookshelf
behind
you.
You'll
be the fucking Paul Schaefer of podcasting.
Yeah. Yes. You know what? I'm going to start doing that, Will. I'm going to move all this stuff in the living room next time.
By the way, you're not moving anything. Your husband, Scotty, does everything, so you don't even do it.
Because we could have had some back and forth, because, there's a piano right there.
I know, that would have been great.
And we will be right back.
We get support from Canva. When your work, presentations, and docs look good, you look good. And you can design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva. Canva is an easy-to-use online design platform. It helps people design compelling visual content and is great for designing any type of presentation and great for any teammate. So our team at Smartless is using Canva when they're coming up with different design concepts for various things related to Smartless and Smartless Media, because we have a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy crew, okay? And if it wasn't for Canva, they'd all be fired. Supercharge your work with AI-powered Canva presentations, docs, videos, and more. In just a few seconds, you can generate slides and text from a prompt. AI is built into Canva right where you work, so you can stay on task without any app switching. It's AI that's easy to learn and even easier to use. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work. Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream, My Mochi Ice Cream, and I was going to say I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi Ice Cream is? Picture this. It's a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi Ice Cream is sweet. It's chewy. It's cool. It's creamy all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh, I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it. First of all, an absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to mymochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today. We get support from Happy Egg. I love starting my morning off with farm fresh eggs full of flavor. At Happy Egg, all of their hens roam on 8 or more acres of land, leaving no mystery to why their eggs are the best. These hens are raised on 8+ acres. I gotta keep it down because if my hens find out, they don't have 8+ acres. My hens only have like 3/4 of an acre. And they're gonna go on strike. Anyway, all of their hens are cared for by small family farmers and live their best hen lives day in and day out. All of this results in eggs with plump orange yolks that are full of flavor. I just, as I mentioned, I like to kick off my morning with farm fresh eggs. The difference is so glaring between an egg from Happy Egg and an egg that just came from clearly some kind of like sad factory. And you just have to taste it for yourself. If you're a fan of eggs, which I am, do yourself this favor and try Happy Egg eggs. You will not be disappointed. You will notice the difference immediately. Get with the Happy Eggs. They're so good. Next time you're at the store, look for the yellow carton. Choose Happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com/smartless to find a store near you. And if you come by the house, don't mention it to my aunts.
And now back to the show.
Now, what about your son? Is your 9-year-old musically inclined at all?
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of scary.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
he's got all of it.
He came out gifted?
I don't know. He's just around it so much. He lives in the studio with us, basically.
And what would his specialty be at this point? If you had to make a guess where he's going to really excel, is it going to be on a particular instrument or singing or writing?
Well, he lives in New Orleans, so he's around, like, the people are playing drums in the street all the time. Like, he just, you know.
I'd love if you were like, we live in Montreal, but he lives in New Orleans. He moved out. He's got his own apartment.
He likes to drink. Living in Montreal was really, like, messing up his drinking schedule.
Are we not in Montreal right now?
No,
we're in New Orleans.
Oh, gotcha. Oh. Okay, so you guys met, started in Montreal. The band started there.
Yeah.
You have now journeyed down to New Orleans. That's where bass is.
Yeah, but we're kind of back and forth. We sort of do the opposite Canadian thing where we go north in the summertime.
Do you take the kid with you when you go north?
Yeah, of course.
Well, listen, if the guy likes to drink, he's got probably
he likes
a favorite
to drink.
Bar he doesn't want
to
be away
They're
from.
They're not on Ozark and like leaving their kids for 5 years like some assholes. You know what I mean?
Listen, if the price is right, huh?
I love hearing Americans say Montreal, too. It's always so amazing.
Montreal.
Right?
It's spelled with an O, not a U, so.
It must be hard if you're directing an episode of something to have your kid there. Be like, Dad, hey, Dad, yeah. Dad. Dad.
No, exactly.
Dad, what are you doing, Dad?
Why are you killing that person? What did that person do to you?
Although Jason, you've had the girls there before. When you were directing episodes, did you have?
Yeah.
You had Maple there when you were directing, right?
Yeah, but they could not care less. It's all about what's at the craft service table. It's all about snacks. Snacks can hold their attention. Yeah. They're happy. Otherwise,
you don't have to pay for the snacks even in Hollywood.
No, snacks are free.
No, snacks are free. Well, you're paying for it. Don't worry. Yeah. But I always say, the joke I always say to my kids when they come to work is like, when they come in and are getting ready, I'm like, you guys love watching your dad get his makeup put on?
Yeah.
In that voice.
You know, we talk about this a lot, though, when it's like, you know, I'm always fascinated. If I was because I knew as a kid I loved the arts and theater and acting and movies and all those kinds of things. I knew from a very young age. And I was always like, I'm always blown away. Like Jason, you just said Maple's just like she couldn't care less. You know? Right. Like when she gets older, is she going to be as Maple or your son when, is he going to be like, shit, I wish I would have tuned in a little bit sooner because that's really cool. They'll appreciate it later.
I doubt it.
Really?
Doubt it. Yeah, it'll be... No, they don't care. They don't care.
No, they do care. These are, it's hard. How can
stuff.
They possibly put it in context at this age? They can,
well, did I mean, you care just, what your parents were doing when you were growing up?
I'm trying to imagine hanging out with my dad at his office, like all the time. Just like, Dad,
is your son impressed with what you guys do? Does he get what you guys are doing?
He totally gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is he impressed? Does he give it up? Does he?
It's kind of his too.
Oh,
you know,
good.
It's like
yeah.
Yeah.
He helps out.
Luckily, we're good. It'd be really awkward if we sucked. And he was like, Dad, oh my God.
I want to be just like them. No.
If he was like, I have to like my parents and it's terrible, would be a really messed up. But he, what kind of music other than Arcade Fire, what kind of music do you think he would listen to if you were like, hey, put something on the record player? What would he?
Beastie Boys.
He really knows. Yeah. No. He really understands music that's like really genuine and original versus stuff that's just like crap, you know, crapped out to go on the radio.
Yeah.
And he'll listen to something and he'll know that this comes from here and this comes from this band and this sound.
Yeah, he knows Jamaican music. He knows Haitian music. He knows jazz. He knows. Yeah.
Wow.
But I think about that sometimes too, because it's like there's the stuff that you're exposed to when you're a kid that's like not at all of your generation. Like I was obsessed with like 50s music when I was, because I heard Stand By Me when I was a little kid. I remember the first time I heard Stand By Me and I was just like, what? Like it just, because it conjures, it's so emotionally deep and the soundscape of it, like the first second I heard it, like the lyrics are about the mountains crumbling to the sea. And I would imagine, like, you know, like your imagination is so fresh when you're then. I would imagine the mountains crumbling and it just was this epic, you know, like almost like visual landscape. And then, so I just was really imprinted with this stuff that was not, you know, I was in suburban Houston in like the 80s and like listening to this music from the 50s and it really like stirring my soul.
The 50s music is like 1/4-5 chords, every single song.
Every song, yeah.
Louie Louie, the opening of Louie Louie is the easiest way to bump, 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 bump. Every song is those three chords over and over. Yeah, 5 billion
I could have written
but
that.
But it ain't what you do is the way that you do it.
Exactly.
Regine, what kind of music, so with your background, what kind of music were you listening to when you were, like, you guys were teenagers growing up in separate places, you were in Montreal, what were you listening to? What was informing or feeding your musical appetite?
What did I listen to? It's very...
Roche Voisine?
Rock Voisine? Rock Voisine was on the radio, of course. You couldn't really escape it. I listened to classical music, Billie Holiday. The first tape, the first cassette I bought, I had to like... I didn't have a lot of money to buy. I didn't have like a collection of records. I only had my grandma's records and... And then when I had money and I was like, okay, I'm going to go buy something and I have to buy something quality because it has to last forever. And I just, so I bought a double tape, double cassette of Billie Holiday. I was like, can't go wrong with this. Can't go. It's like, this is a double cassette of Billie Holiday. I will always love this. And then the second cassette I got was Bob Marley and then Legend. And then, but all, besides that, classic. I listened to my grandmother's records and...
What was the classical music that you loved the most?
Well, when I was really young, the first piece I ever heard was a Mozart Symphony number 40, I think.
The Jupiter.
The Jupiter?
It's called the Jupiter Symphony, yeah.
How does it go, Sean?
That's the overture to Marriage of Figaro.
No, that is not.
That's the Rondo alla Turca. That's an A minor. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Fight. No, thank you fight, so much
fight,
for
fight, 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 fight.
I'm sorry. The Symphony number 40 is like this is the one. So that's the one. That's what the one I heard in when I was 4 years old and I got obsessed with it and I
can't apologize.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
I started playing it that. After that, I discovered Chopin, and I was obsessed with Chopin.
Oh, yes, wow.
And after that, I listened to my grandmother's records, so they had like...
And after that, the Smiths.
Beethoven. No, Beethoven, Bach.
It was the Pixies, actually.
The Pixies.
And the Pixies.
I love
hey,
that.
Hey, will you guys, when you're on tour and you've got your set list and you're out there and you're playing the music and you've rehearsed it a certain way, talk to us about what the process is when you guys kind of absorb the energy of the audience, the kind of mood and tone and pace of each other, and the combination of that to inform how differently you play a particular song on one night versus the next night. And the reason I ask is because there's a similarity between like actors when they do theater. You do the same material every night, but it changes every night per the audience's energy, per the other actor's energy. And so it'd be a completely different performance. Is that a signal that you guys send each other, or is it something that you just kind of mutually feel? Can you explain that process a little bit?
I like this.
Yeah, sign language.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
obviously, probably not something said. It's just something felt, yeah?
No, 100%. I mean, I always like to... Because a room always starts with a vibe, and a lot of it's like depends on, you know, what's happening in the news and what people ate that day and what country you're in and what kind of, like... So the audience comes in, like, with their... vibe, and you could tell a lot.
Sean's vibe is he ate everything.
Yeah.
So
sorry, go ahead.
Right. Yeah. So he's uncomfortable.
So I'm shifty. I'm a little shifty, but I'm open.
Stuff's unbuttoned. Yeah.
Elfing out, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
Friday night.
What an elf eat.
By the way, you got that elf bod. We're never going to stop.
Also, like poetry is like a little bit like holographic. So, like, it does have all different colors. So, like, a word or a sentence can come out so many different ways. And so it's just, it's the same thing. It's just like today it shines like this and tomorrow it'll shine purple.
And I'd imagine that's the exciting part of it, right? Is waiting to sort of mutually feel those cues and
I thought you were going to say waiting for the lightning, that's the exciting part.
No, I mean, we're all there for the song, you know what I mean? So it's like the song, I sort of visualize it as the songs in between us and the audience and you sort of meet in the middle. And
Do you ever get an audience that just blows and you're like, get pissed and you're like,
yes, of course,
you know what, we're gonna end early tonight because you guys are terrible.
We played Montreux Jazz Fest, and it's like, you know, Switzerland is just a bunch of extremely rich white people for the most part. It's like, so they're very used to being entertained, and you're at Montreux and the vibe is like, entertain me. And we're a rock band, so we're playing and I'm just like trying to get a reaction out of the audience. I'm just like being kind of combative and at one point I'm like, and this is the last fucking time we're ever gonna play this song in Switzerland, then start the next song and be like, and now this is the last time we're ever gonna play this song in Switzerland.
You said that or you're thinking that?
No, I said it.
Oh my God.
Every song. Nothing. I got, like, I didn't even get a boo. Like, I wanted them to boo me.
Right. Yeah. I just wanted any reaction.
Just give me literally anything. Spit at me. Just give me something.
I would have been like, it's so good to be here at the Montreux Snooze Festival.
Yeah. I'm going to save that for next time.
And so, wait, how did it end?
So, we finished, and I'm like, and this was the last song that we ever played in Switzerland and leave the stage. And I see this guy sitting on the road case, and I'm like, oh, he looks really familiar. And it was like Quincy Jones. Like, I've been watching the entire set just sitting there on side stage. And I went up to him. I was like, hey, nice to meet you. Like, that's so cool. I'm really sorry that's the set that you saw. That was like maybe my worst time on stage in my entire life. And he's like, man, I work with Miles Davis. That was fine. Like, he was like, that was like, whatever. He's like, Miles would play with his back to the audience. He hated those fuckers. Like,
that's
so amazing. I love that. Boy, I fucking relate to that. These guys know I can be so grouchy.
But if you buy a ticket to Arcade Fire, why wouldn't you be like, this is fucking awesome? Like, I don't understand.
It's just cultural shit. I mean, they were probably like, it's like you meet people and they're like, the second song was too slow, but that was the best show of my life. You know, it's like people just... Yeah. It's like
they can't help it.
They can't help it. It's just how they are.
You know? I'm going to be the dork and ask you a question you probably answered a million times, but I've never heard it. So please indulge me. Tell me where the name of the band came from.
Yeah.
Don't tell him. Don't tell him.
Yeah, I can't. Bob Dylan. I signed a blood pact with Bob Dylan that you're never supposed to answer a question like that.
None of your business.
It has
dude.
To do with Bob Dylan. I'm not a Bob Dylan.
No, I'm just kidding.
For a second there, I thought it was like a famous Bob Dylan song, and I just embarrassed myself.
You know, Arcade Fire. She's in the basement stirring up the Arcade Fire.
It's Woody Guthrie, yeah.
No, I don't know. When I was like a kid I just remember going to an arcade when I was like 4 years old with like an older friend of my parents, and it was like, I'm leaving my parent, you know, I don't know, just like being alone as a kid in a weird place like that. And it was like super futuristic at the time. It was like, what is this? weird place with all these weird sounds. And it was like almost like an emotional, you know, it just sort of was like a weird touchstone in like almost like aesthetic reference or something like that.
Gotcha. You guys, I was thinking about your, first of all, to what Jason was saying before about you guys, I've never seen you guys live. It's one of my big regrets, but it's going to happen this fall. I'm going to come and see you guys. And
you call yourself Canadian.
I know, but I haven't lived there in a long time. I know I am a pathetic Canadian. But I was thinking about, especially with this new record with We, how I can almost visualize the crowds singing along with you guys to virtually every song. It felt so... You guys are just by nature a collaborative band. There are different people and people coming in and out, and sometimes the band expands and you have lots of people, and that collaboration kind of almost extends, kind of what these guys were saying, extends to when you're in concert, feeding off the audience in so many years. And that's kind of been a hallmark since day one. I mean, right, all those songs. I remember I watched that video of you guys playing with Bowie when you guys did Wake Up. I don't know what theater that was in where you did that.
I think it was Radio City.
Radio City, right?
Radio City, yeah, it was, yeah.
And I'm just like, there's something about it that's so, like, engaging. And I wonder, was it always that intention, like, to be this kind of, like, just like this big, messy, collaborative kind of engagement? And by messy, I don't mean I don't mean sloppy. I mean that there's a lot of parts to it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we came up playing like DIY venues, so we were never on a stage. Like the first 40 times we played, we were always on the floor with the audience. Mm. And I remember just sort of like, I didn't really even need a mic for a lot of these rooms. It was like you're playing to 50 people. And so like I remember at one show, I just started walking, singing the song through the crowd and like walking to the back, because it always at the back of a party, people are drinking beer and talking. And if you're playing a quiet song, you can't fucking hear anything. Mm-hmm. So I went over to where they were and was just playing the song in the back of the room.
You just brought it to them.
I just brought it to them because, it's a quiet song. It's fine. You know, people like to talk at shows. But.
Do you guys, last thing I want to say, ask you, it reminds me of, I was thinking about your first record. I think you guys did Conan. That record came out, what, in 2000? Funeral came out 2004?
Yeah, we did Conan and Letterman.
And you did Conan and Letterman, and Jeffrey Tambor. Jason and I were on Arrested Development at the time, and Jeffrey Tambor was on the show.
That's right.
And so you guys won't remember this part, which is Jeffrey said, I'm going to New York to do Conan to promote this show. And I said, there's this band, they've just released a record called Arcade Fire. And I gave him a CD, and I said, will you have them sign it? And he said, okay. And so he came back, and you guys, and I've got it somewhere in a box, and you guys had signed it. It's like, we were told that we needed to sign this for you. You guys wrote it out, and I have it.
Oh, that's cool.
That's
signed
cool.
to me that Jeffrey gave back to me after
that's
that.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so that was
I remember, our guitar player, Richie, was obsessed with, what's the amazing show that he was on before on
Larry Sanders.
Larry
Sanders?
Oh yeah, Larry. Like he was
brilliant.
It's brilliant. He was obsessed with Larry Sanders, and Jeffrey was getting his makeup done, and Richie was sitting next to him. He's like, "It's kind of like Larry Sanders, huh?" And he was just like, just so nonplussed. He just gave him the dead eye.
He gave him nothing.
He just gave him the dead eyes. And Richie was just like, his heart was like, oh my God, like I think Jeffrey Tambor just like, I don't know what I was thinking. Why did I say that to him? He's like he was just so mad at himself.
Jeffrey
was probably, like, that's Jeffrey's humor. Yeah. It's so good. The first thing I ever said to him was the first day I met him on set at Arrested Development, and met him, and then as we were separated, I said, all right, well, have a great day. He says, don't you fucking tell me what to do.
that was good.
I love that. Yeah. I was entering a door at the same time as Jeffrey, exactly at the same time, and he goes, oh, no, please, by billing. In order of billing. And he let me go first.
The first time he met Amy, we were doing Arrested, and she came to a table read, my ex-wife, and she came in the room, and I said, I said, Jeffrey, this is Amy, and he goes, I didn't ask. and both of us died. We fell to our knees.
I mean, how much on Arrested Development, how much is that like I always related to that like a band when it's like a collective of, because it's like you have, I don't know, like when I would watch like Monty Python, I always thought of Monty Python as a punk band. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Because it's like you have this, people are bouncing off each other. You're making each other better. It's like you're trying to impress the other. I don't know. I was wondered if that was.
Somebody asked me the other. We were maybe when we were doing the show, we were talking and saying, who do you do the performance for? Or it was with Jeff Bridges. And I was saying, and I never answered it. And I was going to say my answer, which I'll tell you, is in those moments. Yeah. When Jason and David Cross and Tony Hale and I are doing a scene, I would always be trying to, we're riffing off each other, feeding off each other's energy, and I'm trying to make those guys laugh in the moment at how silly it is what we're doing.
Right.
That's who I'm doing it for.
Yeah.
Maybe the crew, definitely not the camera. I could give a shit. It's really these guys. Right. I want Jason and Cross and Tony Hale to laugh, you know?
That's the same in a band, too. Yeah. I mean, it's like, because you're playing... You're trying to get a rise out of the other people on the stage, and then that energy gets transmitted.
And it fuels, right? Like
That's why I asked the thing about the audience. Like when an audience, like in Switzerland, do you just then start turning to each other and start playing for each other? You know, because it's like we all have.
Sure.
Yeah,
no, but for sure.
I wanted to ask.
But I was going to. What made? Sorry. So just to follow up, the last thing, Sean, about that I was getting to was I've always wanted to know on that first record on Funeral, that song "Une Année Sans Lumière." Right near the right at the end where it goes into the guitar, it's always reminded me of the guitar at the end of Love Vigilante's "On New Order" on Low Life. Have you ever heard? Do you know that song?
Oh, of course, yeah,
I do.
Yeah, it's a brilliant
New Order.
And it's always reminded me, and I've always been like, I loved New Order, and then I loved you guys. I'm like, no wonder I love these guys because you guys remind me of a lot of bands and no bands because you're unique, but you also have pieces that we all have influences of stuff, right? Yeah. So saying that, what of those kinds of bands did you guys like? Apart, you know.
Well, I actually found a flyer that we made when we first met, like in 2002. We were looking for musicians. And so it's like and it was like, I wrote the text like an apple, like it was shaped like.
I made it in the shape of an apple.
Whatever, we made a poster that was like this very, it's like so pretentious and almost, it's like art school kind of. Uh-huh. But we didn't want to just make a poster because we wanted to make something that was like, we thought was cool so that the person who read it, and it was like our influences, it was like looking for musicians, and it was like New Order was one of them, Pixies, Dylan, and then it was like Motown, and
Debussy
and Arvo Part. That was those were our influence list, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah. And then nobody
responded.
Not 1%.
No, not 1%.
They're like these guys are too. This is too broad. This is crazy. They want to.
This doesn't make sense. These things don't go together.
They're into everything.
Yeah, it's not everything though. It makes sense. There's a thread.
Yeah,
we'll be right back.
Thank you to Organic Valleys for supporting the show. I'm just finishing up a little cottage cheese here. See, the thing is, I'm always on the hunt to find the best dairy products. But so many options out there. Which one do you choose? With Organic Valley, you can feel good choosing their dairy products. Their products are ethically sourced from small family farms where cows spend lots of time grazing outside on organic pasture. Organic Valley Dairy doesn't come from those big factory farms. Their farmer families are real people who care about people, animals, and nature. It just tastes better. You can taste the organic. For me, look, I'm a coffee guy, okay? Guilty as charged. Every morning, I do the same thing, which is I come downstairs, I make my coffee, and the thing that this so important ingredient is my half and half. And I just happen to choose Organic Valley half and half, even before they started supporting the show. I mean, talk about a match made in dairy heaven. And I also happen to enjoy their eggs and their butter and their other products too. So I was going to say, so sue me, but so don't sue me. When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you enjoy a great tasting organic dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals they call it home. And do not ask me to convert that to hectares. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit OV.COOP.
Hey, SmartLess listener, we get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus, and we went to Austria, and it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places, and I know, total nerdville, but it was pretty cool, and I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing, so maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you are interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartlist. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at ChallengersMovie.com. And back to the show.
There's such a great fullness to your music too. It is truly like it has that ensemble sound. You're not surprised if a horn section comes through, or you know, or strings, or I always love that about Pink Floyd. There was always just, as you said earlier, like a soundscape as opposed to, well, it's just four instruments and it's 4/4 time and there's somewhat of a predictable rhythm to it.
We're filmmakers. Ultimately, it's like we think of it that way.
Yeah. But you have to, like, I always think, like, I listened to a lot of Dylan, too, when I was a teenager. And I listened to The Cure a lot. I mentioned the Smiths were, like, one of my all-time favorite bands. And at the same time, I went to...
Cure is huge for me.
Cure, huge. Like, that EP, right. What was it? Japanese Whispers. And then they had... But I also went to 15 Dead shows. But I'm not a Deadhead. But I appreciated Jerry Garcia. But at the same time, I'm really into, just all kinds of like indie. And I think that that's important, right? Like to have like, you don't have to be like just into this genre or just into this genre.
Makes you a better musician, I'm sure.
Yeah. Like Sean, you don't have to just listen to Erasure.
And Depeche Mode.
Sorry, in Depeche Mode.
You can
also listen to Bronski.
I love Depeche too. That was one of my first big shows. Depeche.
I love them. I know every word, every song.
Who's the keyboard player just died, right?
Andy Fletcher. Yeah.
Yeah, Andy Fletcher died. Yeah.
But I have a question about your voice because, when I was younger and I didn't understand the technique of singing or anything or musicianship or really anything, I would go, you know, I'd watch bands on TV or on music videos or on tour or whatever. And I didn't quite, I was like, wow, that's amazing that they can scream or sing or do whatever with their voice. And then you get older and you learn how the instrument works and the training that needs and the warm-ups and all the stuff that you don't ever see musicians do or singers do off to the side. And then I'll watch, like, you know, something on TV. I'm like, how can they do that? How can they sing like that night after night after night? Aren't they ruining their vocal cords or whatever? So do you have any kind of things that you do? Was there ever a moment where you're like, wow, I really got to take care of my instrument here in my throat?
Because both you guys belted out too, yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, Regina had nodules when I met her from jazz Sweet. School, right?
Oh, yeah. That. Well,
anyway. I met Regine, and she had,
doesn't want to talk about it.
And the next day, she got braces. Like, 1 week later, she got braces and then had vocal cord surgery.
Perfect.
And couldn't talk for, like, 2 months.
No
and
had way. Braces.
Yeah, no, yeah. Wow.
And you're like, I'm in. I am in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But was there a moment that where you're like, oh shit, I gotta really kind of maybe go see a teacher now that I'm like I'm doing more work as a singer and stuff, because you never learned, or do you not even think about that? You never did it.
There was a point. I mean, I sang, particularly on the first record, like I sang like the world was every single fucking time we played. I was saying like every second of it, the world was gonna end the next second. You know,
The first two tours, you were like a ghost. You were like,
I was a ghost.
You were like so pale and just.
I had really horrible sinus infections. I think I was sick for 4 years, like pretty much nonstop sick the entire time.
Wow,
and just singing. Like, we would always start with Wake Up, and I mean, like, back in the day, there'd be seven of us, and we'd be playing to six people, and we would still fucking sing it like it was the fucking end of the world, and it was always the first song. So we would come out, set up our instruments, and, like, I remember seeing a video of us in Austin back in the day. We're playing some little club, and we're loading in the equipment ourselves. We're just, like, look white and just, like, sweat pouring down our face. We just arrived from, like, a 400-mile drive.
Oh, I remember that.
We, like, load in our crap in front of the audience. The audience is already there. And then we've just turned on the instruments. I'm like, more fucking voice, more fucking voice, more fucking voice. That's too much. It's feeding back. Okay, good. And then we're like, one, two, three, four. It was like, just
song.
Starting there, like that's
that
where
song
we started.
Is so, like, especially when you hit that, I guess it'll just have to adjust. Yeah. And it's like insane. Like, both of you guys are just like going for
it. So I burned out. I mean, I was sick and singing every night. And at one point on Neon Bible, the second record, we were playing in Norway, and we came out, and I was just like, there's nothing, not a fucking sound. And I basically went and had sinus surgery. Okay.
In Norway?
I wish. No, in Montreal.
Okay.
Because it was like 1/1,000th of the cost of doing it in New York.
Yeah,
and so
of course.
Then, it was like $200, please. And so then I had the surgery. And then after that, I kind of realized I'd never lost my voice. Like, I was losing my voice because I was sick, and now I don't, because I did all the singing coach crap, and I was always losing my voice, and every singing coach is like, I'm the only one who knows the secrets of singing, and my method, which was passed down to me by the Teutonic Knights.
Right, buy my book and my
get
tape.
My oils, whatever, did you use my oils? Like, it's always like this, like, tell no one of the oils I gave you. Like,
I was at that show in Berlin with the U2 guys when Bono lost his voice after three songs. It was so scary.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yeah, it's terrifying,
right? It's scary when you lose it.
How do you stay healthy now when you guys are on the road? And I imagine it would be hard to have any sort of rhythm of proper stuff to eat or sleep, or how diligent are you with
about the food? Here we go.
Yeah, the travel's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean.
Jason wants to know if you have access to salads, because he's trying to think about himself on tour.
So
would there be enough
salad?
We have snacks. There's always hummus and carrots, you know, every backstage.
Oh, Jason's in.
Well, all right, I'm in.
Yeah. And then,
do you have access to a handful of nuts? Would that be possible?
You can get some nuts.
To even out the blood sugar. And then, so your son, what happens during the school year when you guys are on tour? Do you just schedule your tours so it's only during the summer?
I mean, it's kind of a brave new world now. It's like this will be our first time touring since COVID. Yeah. It's all, you know, it's kind of happening, but it's also like a little bit terrifying. It's like on, like the health perspective. I mean, not getting COVID because I just had it and it was like no big deal. It was like totally fine.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was boosted and everything.
You were psyched. Be honest. We were texting and you were kind of psyched.
I was psyched. Yeah. I was like, I'm about to watch Blade Runner and then Alien and then Alien 2.
With no guilt.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love that.
So, Jean, were you psyched? Were you psyched also?
You know. Not particularly, but
she's one of the last ones. She still never had it.
I didn't get it.
Oh, really?
I didn't get it. I don't know.
Sean and I didn't get it either. I don't know.
I haven't gotten it. Not gonna.
I don't know what to say.
I'll give it to you next time.
Okay, great. Right.
Thanks, man. yeah, but it is a break. But you are. Yeah, I guess because of COVID and stuff, your son was too young, and now you're gonna have to figure out what that is like going on tour and kids. We talk about it a lot because we do. Jason, I have three boys, and Jason has two girls, and where it's always like that's always the thing of like, what do you know, with kids and managing that and their school and work and that balance and what do you do? And it's the number one question.
I think what's cool now is that because of the pandemic and the schools, at least the school where he goes, got really organized in terms of the remote and the curriculum, so that it's not like a brand new thing. If we tell him he has to come out for a few days, you know,
that's great.
I feel like our job as parents is mostly to prepare him for a world which will be insane and constantly changing, and you better be able to take a hit because shit is going to be gnarly. So
you mean this planet that we lit on fire and left for them?
The whole fucking thing is just, I mean, like the whole war raging in Europe and climate change and like the technology, like all of the companies are all just trying to remove humans. So it's like it's just going to be, I think in the future, it's like, you're just going to have to be really
nimble
and able to like mix it
adapt
up and adapt
yeah, and for sure. So being on tour is a good training
tour
ground.
Tour is awesome. It's a great training ground for that.
You guys wrote honestly. That great tune Lookout Kid on your new record on We.
It's sort of about that. You know?
Yeah. Not by the way, not Henri, on We.
W-E.
Yeah. Not E-N-N-U-I.
Oh, you really do speak French.
I tell you.
Oh, he speaks French fluently.
But I am also suffering from a great deal of ennui these days. You probably heard earlier before you guys got on. It's been weird times. But you wrote about it in with Lookout Kid. It's kind of exactly about that you were saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like talking to my son and being like, shit's going to be pretty gnarly, but I love you a lot, and it's like kind of about unconditional love, basically, but like in the face of like just the inevitability of like, I don't know how high school was for you guys, but that shit was gnarly for me.
The best. I mean, the worst. Yeah.
It was so rough. I'm like, I'm trying to imagine being in high school now. I'm just like,
No way. I hated it.
I loved it, but now
what got you guys down to New Orleans? What was the aside from, was
United, it? I think it was, or Delta, probably.
Yeah, Delta, American.
Was it the music influence down there? Or was it something less obvious than that?
Well, Regine's family's from Haiti,
and
the whole French Canadian thing. And when we first, I grew up in Houston.
Well, I was just thinking about you guys. Everybody saying like, oh yeah, high school is so bad. And who did you like it? I didn't like it. I didn't like. I hated it. It's like whoever liked it? Like no, does anyone?
Sean liked
high school.
I lived for it. We loved it absolutely every second.
High school.
Of it. Yeah.
He peaked. That was his. That was the highlight.
Okay.
But he was, you have to understand, his father left. That's a whole other story.
The bar was.
Once you talk to him long enough, you'll get it.
No, there was awesome shit in high school. I really, like, there are aspects of high school that were amazing. Like, I loved. Just, I mean,
when I first read
the beatniks and the first, you know, just literature and art.
But that shit, same here. Like, I read On the Road when I was 17 and I was like, I gotta leave where I'm at. Yeah. But that wasn't stuff I did in high school. That was stuff I did on my own.
Yeah.
Wait. First of all, just on the last thing on We, End of the Empire. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know when you wrote that song. It feels like you wrote it today. And I don't know, at least, like, it feels, every time I listen to it, it feels, it just puts me right in the present in this really remarkable way. Talk to me a little bit about that song, because it's just, I just connect with it so much.
I mean, it's kind of, it's a four parts, so it's like kind of, it's kind of the most ambitious thing we've done in a lot of ways. I mean, it's 9.5 minutes, but it's not prog. You know, I never really liked prog music, but it's like, I mean, I loved Radiohead in high school. Like, you know, Paranoid Android probably has like a little bit of a influence in there as well. But it was just sort of looking, we started it before the pandemic. So the first couple parts lyrically were kind of the world, America was just feeling pretty heavy there for a while, like before the election. Before the pandemic, just really felt like, just energetically, like in America, I was like, man, this is a really dark, heavy cloud. Just like you're constantly being like barraged by all this stuff. And so it was just sort of like that, like just sort of like a reckoning with ourselves about, you know, it's been a good ride, but this shit is, you know, not going in the best direction. So... a bit of that, and then the world kind of ended. Mm-hmm. And the fourth part is like kind of, there's a black hole in the middle of our galaxy called Sagittarius A.
Yeah.
And I read an article about
it. Pretty name.
Yeah, and I was just sort of like, there was something about the image of this black hole in the middle of everything that just, I was just trying to write that, lyrically write that part for a long time. And Regine, like we recorded that just the two of us. It was Mardi Gras day during the pandemic when Mardi Gras didn't happen, which is a really eerie, really like it's such a spiritual day. And it's just like this, the streets are empty in New Orleans. It's like this really like deep spiritual kind of energy and like nothing, the sound of nothing, no horns playing, no one in the streets. And yeah, we just recorded that in our living room, the fourth part.
That's
yeah.
So cool. Wow.
And the part two is from 20 years ago. The second part, and we know that it's time to go. That is from like when I live on an apartment. We didn't even live together. Like he lived a few blocks away, and
did you have braces at the time?
Yes, I did have braces at the time. And I played it on this little organ that I bought for like $100 or something, or a few hundred bucks maybe. And
I love that. Regine, what is it? And I know it's time to go.
Yeah.
Send the news on the
radio. Heard the news on the radio. One last round before we go. One through the pale atmospheric glow.
Yeah.
And the oxygen's getting low. Sing a song that we used to know. Are we wrong, Keith?
Oh, yes.
Last round before we go. One last round before we go. All the alcoholics, let's go. And we know that it's time to go. Heard the news on the radio. One last round before we go. Bye, everyone.
Regine and Wynn. You guys.
That's so
you gotta go.
I love that song.
You guys.
That's a first for us. That's awesome.
That's really cool.
You guys, thank you. We've taken up so much of your time. Thank you for indulging
us. And we know that it's time to go. Heard the news on the radio.
Sing, Bateman.
All the elves.
All the elves.
Thank you. Thank you for giving us elf bods. Thank you for giving us all your music. Thank you for giving us your time. And
hashtag
your
elf bod. Hashtag COVID. Hashtag
relatable. hashtag tell your son hi from Batman. And yeah. We
Nine Pack.
And Bateman.
Yeah.
And Bateman.
Bateman. That's good.
Honestly, just thank you guys so much.
You guys should do this where you like talk to a whole bunch of different people all the time. You guys have a great chemistry. It's really funny. Like you should just like hang out, do this thing where you like shoot the shit and then surprise people with.
I don't think anyone would ever listen.
No, you should do it. It's great.
Cool in the world.
I don't think. Oh my God.
Thanks, you guys. Huge fans.
You guys are amazing.
Amazing.
When when I need to go to sleep, I use a sleep pill. Do you guys have to do that crap where you do the like, in podcasting where you have to just do that shit?
Oh yeah.
Can you do one now? Can I hear you guys do one?
Why
don't you do an ad for their album right now, Will?
Yeah, do an ad for our album. Yeah, you have such a great voice. Has anyone ever told you that?
No. This summer, Arcade Fire. And
who do you want to play with?
Sean Hayes and the Arcade Fire this summer at the Molson or Bell Center. I don't know what they call it now.
Just do like a promo. Give us a wee one. Give us like a good, like, just
Arcade
give
Fire
us-
would be a great name for like a sitcom if you do like, then on an all new Arcade Fire, Wynn and Regine come home and their house is not exactly as they remember it.
They've been super depressed about the state of the world. Previously on Arcade Fire.
I was just going to say,
me.
Previously.
I've been.
Previously.
Oh, you guys, we could do this forever. I can't wait to join you on stage and sing that song, End of the Empire, with you on stage. Oh. It's going to be epic in Toronto.
It is going to be amazing, yeah.
Oh. No, honestly, you guys, thank you so much. It's been amazing. And thanks for giving us your time.
Yeah, thank you guys very, very much.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup.
Chou.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Salut.
Guys.
Now, Willie, that seemed to be a beautiful elixir for your day. Are you feeling back on top right there?
Didn't that, yeah,
that
got you through it,
my whole chemistry. Absolutely.
Of course. It just takes a little something like that.
And that's what music can do.
That's the power of music.
So impactful. I can't believe we just sang that, all of us.
I know. That's cool.
Can you fucking believe we just sang In the Empire with those guys, with Wynn and Regine?
Yeah, Regine. You know, I did want to mention, not in front of them, but I will to you guys. Whenever somebody says...
They're not listening.
Huh? I wasn't listening.
They won't. They're not listening. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I wanted to tell you, whenever somebody brings up New Orleans, I think about the four-way I had there. I associate that city with the four-way.
God damn, I wish they were still on. How many dudes, how many girls?
Yeah. Wait a second.
All dudes.
Just four dudes?
Yeah.
Huh. Four dudes.
Yeah, it was years and years and years ago.
I'm not sure that's a four-way. I think that's just a train.
You know what the great thing about a four-way? It's a train, but you know the great thing is you have two lucky Pierres.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the good news.
Train. Everybody hop on. You just don't want to be the caboose. Or you do want to be the caboose.
Or you don't, no.
Well, it all depends.
Or you don't want to be the caboose in one of the human centipede. That you don't
want to
be the
caboose. No, that you do not want that.
Because you're getting the waste of all the other people. Oh, boy. Have you ever thought about where you want to be on a human centipede?
Can I be one of the shoes?
You want to be in the front, by the way, just so you know. You want to be the first guy.
You got to sign up. You got to sign up early.
Well, somebody is sewed to your ass, but it doesn't, I mean, that, believe me, it's the best case scenario.
Now, Willie, when they say careful about meeting your heroes, I would imagine that did not hold true.
Over-delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah, they seem so lovely and funny and, like, great to hang out with.
They over-delivered. And like I said, because I knew we were going to have them on, and they graciously and generously sent me their record a few months ago before it came out. And I, like I said, it was so impactful, and I ended up listening to it so much, and I had to reach out. And so Michael and Bennett and Robert, somebody got me their number, and I ended up texting with both on a chain with both Wynn and Regine for a while. And we had a really great exchange, and then they had to cancel, and then so Wynn and I started texting when he got sick, and he wasn't really sick, but he was just at home. And then he started talking about, when I said that he was happy, meaning that, like, he was like, I'm not really doing anything for the first time in a while. It's kind of great. I've just watched Alien and Aliens and Blade Runner, and we started talking about reading and books and stuff, and it was just, I don't know, I just really connected. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, they've got some really great energy. Very, very sweet, those two.
Incredible musicians. I mean, just...
Yeah, they're really great. I love I love that song so much, End of the Empire.
Yeah.
It's like a, it sounds like an instant classic. And it's off their new album, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's off their new album, We. And it also, there, yeah, there are moments of it that sound like Sgt. Pepper's.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, there's just...
It's like, a great, that's a great song, you know, when you want to end something, you know, when you want to, like, say,
well, you know, it's a really good, for, like, if you're going to bed, it's a really good lullaby.
Nice, Will.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarve, and Bennett Barbico.
Smartless.
If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Every week, guests join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time, like who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize. They never imagined somebody might actually try to snag it, but a 23-year-old did, and suddenly Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.